Father, thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have laid this upon our heart. I believe, God, that I am anointed. I believe, God, your word is anointed. I believe that you're going to speak to every one of us today. God, this will not go over our heads. This will not be so elementary that we don't, that it's just boring. But we're going to receive the spoken word of God today in this house and around the world where this word is going out. And we thank you, Almighty God, for ministering through us and to us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, for God has not given us a of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is at a very old age. It's his last book that he writes. And he addresses something that was going on in Timothy's life because he knew he was facing, as well as Timothy was facing, threatening times. And so Paul just started the book of 2 Timothy off, and he reminded Timothy of this important, crucial truth that God has not given you fear. God did not give you fear. Fear did not come from God, but he did give you power, love, and a sound mind. Can we talk about that for just a little bit this morning? Let's look at it again, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, that's actually cowardice or timidity, but he's given us power, which is dunamis, might, and ability, and love, and a sound mind. By the way, sound mind, self-control. God has given you the ability to control yourself. Have you ever seen anybody that was out of control? You ever tell somebody, tell one of your kids, control yourself? Have you ever seen anybody on the road? So the Greek word actually means a cowardice. It conveys the idea of cowardice, and he was telling Timothy what the problem is and how to avoid that problem. How many knows that fear is still a powerful force? Do you realize how many people's lives are run and managed by fear, and how it just causes you to become a servant? It's a powerful force. And if fear ever gets a grip on your mind, you will never move forward. You will never do anything for God. And it actually will produce cowardice in you. Fear will eventually produce cowardice in you. And if you let it go unchecked, I'm telling you what, you'll become afraid of everything. It may just be one thing, but it will grow into something else and then something else, and then it'll multiply and split and make more things for you to be afraid of. And I just have a little thought this morning about let's not allowing fear to control our lives. Now, recently, my wife preached on in the series Strong Man's His Name and Strongholds His Game, and she brought out on this, I think she brought out the spirit of fear one. That wasn't me, that was you, I believe, wasn't it? On the spirit of fear, and she did a great job using this verse of Scripture. But years ago, there was an informal survey that was taken in churches just to find out what kind of fears Christian people were dealing with. You would be shocked to find out how many forms of fear there is in a local church, in Christians. And I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand this morning because I don't want you to embarrass yourself, and I certainly don't want you to reveal who you are. But how many of those are so many kinds of fear in the body of Christ? And I've listed a few of them here that was in that survey. Do you know that fear of divorce is a real thing? Fear of divorce, fear of cancer, fear of AIDS, fear of suicide. These are in the church. Here's one: fear of insanity, fear of heights, murder, fear of robbers, fear of attack, fear of financial failure, fear of demons, fear of rejection. These are in the church. Fear of, did I say failure? Well, I said financial failure, but also fear of regular failure, fear of betrayal, fear of disloyalty, fear of spiders, Fear of snakes. I don't know about you, but when I see a snake in the yard, I don't care if it's a rattlesnake or a brown snake or a black snake, I run like a little sissy. I will not reach over and pick up a green snake or any of those. It's not that I'm afraid. I just think I don't want to pick up something that I don't know what I'm picking up. So I just run off and leave them there. Listen to this. How about this one? Fear of germs. COVID didn't help any with that, did it? Fear of heights. Fear of flying. If you have fear of flying, please let us know before you go with us on a missionary trip, and you can drive, okay? Because 18 hours in those little skinny seats, very uncomfortable. Coming home, they were a little wider, a whole lot more comfortable. So fear of not having enough. You know, that's a great fear. You know what? That's what keeps people from tithing and honoring God with their income, is they're afraid that if I give it, I won't have it. But you don't understand God's word, because the only way that you can get it is to give it. Amen. Amen. That's how increase comes, is through giving. And so fear of poverty. And that's why the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. All right, all together now. Let's say it one more time. God, not sound mind. Everybody shout sound mind. Sound mind. You know what that is? That's a mind, get this now, that has been delivered and saved. It's a mind that has been delivered and saved. Not like the birth of the human spirit, but God gave you the power, love, and the ability to have a sound mind. Another translation says self-control. Amen. How many knows it's a fearful thing to lose self-control? And we need to get to the place in life where our minds will not be affected by the circumstances that are around us. And we don't allow what we see, what we hear, and man, there's a lot going on right now, but don't allow it to bring fear into your life or into your thinking, because we have a sound mind. Amen? Amen? So with that in mind, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2 or your devices, and let's follow along. If you have the Bible app, I will be in the NLT version. If you have a hardcover Bible and it's already King James or NIV, that's okay. Follow along with us. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and by dying could he break the power of the devil, who has the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. In other words, he said, we don't have to fear dying. We don't have to fear going to the grave. We don't have to fear the next life if our hearts are right with God. Somebody shout amen, okay? And so freedom from fear belongs to every believer. I said it belongs to you, just like healing belongs to you, just like walking in victory belongs to you. Living a fear-free life belongs to us as believers. Jesus Christ came to deliver us from fear. He came to deliver us from a mind that doesn't have to open the door and let fear in. Amen. I mean, when fear comes in, it'll eventually rule. You let a little bit of fear and let it in, and it will try to rule. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and 8. A few scriptures this morning to lay this foundation, and then we'll move right along. 2 Timothy 1 and 8. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That, my brother, is a hard scripture to swallow. Be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel? What is wrong with him? You know what he's saying? be ready as a believer to go through some persecution. Listen, we in America are blessed, we are fortunate, and we haven't seen the persecution that many of the early Christians faced. But I want to tell you something. If America doesn't turn around, if America doesn't repent, we're headed in the same direction that the early Christians under the Roman rule had to dwell in. Amen. Now he said, you're going to have persecution and you're going to have troubles. You just might as well get ready for that. But he said, don't be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. They may come, but you don't have to participate in it. Amen. And then he goes on, before that he says, and also don't only be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, but don't be ashamed of me. Now understand, Paul was Timothy's father in the faith. Paul was Timothy's mentor. Paul was Timothy's pastor. Paul was his teacher. And he says here, now, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, or don't be ashamed of me as his prisoner. Now, why do you think he said that? Why would Paul tell Timothy, do not be ashamed of me? Well, to fully understand why he said that, and why Timothy possibly had a fearful mindset, we've got to look at the turbulent political atmosphere of that day. It was a very unstable a climate for Christians, and they were facing a lot of stuff in that time. And the Bible says, or early Christian writers say, that Paul was martyred in Rome by Nero. So being identified with Paul became very dangerous. A personal friend of the apostle would have understood the very real possibility that his name could be added to the list of accomplices. In other words, because Timothy had a relationship with Paul and Paul lost his life, how many know there possibly could have been some fear there for associating with Paul? And Paul said, now listen, Timothy, my son, don't be ashamed, don't be afraid to recognize that we have a relationship and that we're serving the same God. And now remember, Paul's old when he writes this book. He's a very old man, and he doesn't have a lot of friends around him. In fact, he says later on that everybody's forsaken him except Luke. Luke was the only one that stood with Paul during his ministry. Luke was there at his very first missionary journey. And Luke traveled with Paul throughout his whole ministry and was with him up to the last days, and he was with him through every trial and every court case and every thing that the devil brought against him. The apostle, Dr. Luke, was always there with him. But Paul here encourages Timothy. Yes, listen, I've experienced the pain of rejection. And if you're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to experience the same thing. But don't let it get in your heart. Don't let fear get in your head. Somebody shout amen. Amen. He said, become a partaker of the afflictions. That's what he says here. Become a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul had been through some stuff. By the time I'm finished this morning, you'll understand that Paul had been through a whole lot of stuff. He knew what he was talking about. He had been a partaker of those afflictions. Now, we don't like to talk about that in the New Testament, church, because we're word people, right? We're faith people, right? We don't like to talk about the persecution of Christians or the things that Christians have to go through. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul had a right to tell Timothy to hang in there. He had a right to tell him. There will be afflictions. Even Jesus said in this lifetime, there will be some persecution. But cheer up. You know what he said? Cheer up. So look here, 2 Timothy 1:15. You can turn to it in your Bible or you can look on the screen behind me. 2 Timothy 1:15. As you know, this is Paul speaking, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me. Even Phygellus and Hermogenes. I'm sure I said that right. Hermogenes. But he said, everyone has deserted me. All my friends, all my ministry associates, all my helpers, all those that stood with me when we were starting churches. They've all deserted me. And notice it says everyone from the province of Asia. The entire province of Asia turned away from Paul. But you know what? It didn't bother Paul. Paul stayed steadfast. Paul stayed plugged in. Paul said, I'm not going to let that fear of what could happen come into me, because God's not giving me that spirit of fear. And then we drop on down to verse 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And he says, may the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family, because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. They didn't have Google Maps back in those days. So he had to search. He had to go from house to house. He had to go from jail to jail to find out, where is Paul? I've got to come and I've got to encourage Paul. I need to comfort Paul. Paul's my mentor. He's my daddy in the faith. I need to be with him. Listen, folks, I'm going to get old one of these days, right? And don't you dare say I am right now. But one of these days, I'm going to get old. And when I do, I pray that you don't forsake us and just forget all about us, and that I don't want to be buried outside my office window, but please don't forget about us, because we're, carry on, Rhodes. We're family. Everybody say, we're family. Now, Paul understood rejection. Everybody rejected him. It doesn't just say, just my six disciples or just a handful. The province of Asia, where he had started some of his greatest churches, where he had journeyed and brought to them the gospel message, the people that got saved under his ministry, they started with him, but they didn't stay with him. They left him. I know the feeling. Some of you know the feeling. If you've ever been through divorce, you know the feeling. If you've ever pastored a church and people have left the church, you know the feeling. It hurts. And so Paul understood rejection. He had been forsaken by his closest friends. He had been forsaken by all the churches in Asia where he had done significant things for Almighty God. But listen, here, you might want to write this down. Like it or not, people will go AWOL in the midst of spiritual problems. People will go AWOL. People will go AWOL. But Paul still held on. God's not given me fear. Though all forsake me, God's not given me fear. Though I don't know where I'm going next, but I'm not going to take on that spirit of fear. He didn't allow that rejection to drag him down. Now, can I see the hand of everybody here today that you've probably been rejected at least once or twice? Can I see today? Yeah. I think I'm in the right church. We know what it means to be rejected, don't we? We've all been there. It hurts. But Paul didn't allow it to rule him. He didn't allow it to pull him down. He didn't get angry. He didn't get resentful. He refused to hold a grudge. 2 Timothy 4:6. Moving right along. For I am now ready to be offered. Everybody say, ready to be offered. For the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. He didn't say, I'm about to die. He said, my departure is at hand. I like his outlook on life. Even when he was facing death, he was still victorious. Notice he says, I have fought a good fight. You know that word fight in the Greek is the same word where we get our word agony. I will try to pronounce it. It's agonizo, something like that. But it's where we get our word agony. What Paul is telling us is that in ministry, folks, there's going to be agony. In your work and in your walk with God, there will be times of agony. But if you'll notice Paul's attitude during everything that he faced, he kept the faith. He fought the fight. He did not give up, and thus there was a crown laid up for him in heaven. Is this helping anybody today? Regardless of everything that came against him, he said, I stayed and I fought the fight. I was asked to minister at the conference last week. I think it was when we got picked up at the airport. They asked, could you speak on how to stay at a church 48 years? Easy. Don't quit. Simple. Don't get discouraged and quit. Don't let fear fill your mind. Although it took me an hour and a half to explain it, that's basically what I said. Don't allow fear to enter your mind, because the devil will throw every dart he can your way. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. Paul said, I didn't budge an inch. I fought and I remained faithful to the Lord. You know the key to success in business is to be faithful. Don't give up. Press on. When the going gets tough, you just pick yourself up by the bootstrap and call out to God and you keep on going. You don't quit. Thank you for your one. That's right. He said, I have finished my course. The Greek kind of describes it as a foot race. I have finished it. I have accomplished it. I have fulfilled my race. Notice he said my race, not somebody else's race. I'm not responsible to run your race. Thank God Almighty. I don't have to fulfill your calling. Thank God Almighty. I have a big enough job, Brother Mark, taking care of myself, making sure that I walk in my calling and I finish my course. I have no business trying to finish anybody else's course. And then he said, I have finished my course. Everybody say, my course. I've been true to the call of God on my life. Can you say that today? Have you been true to the call of God? Can you at the end of your life say, I have finished my course? Because you know what? There's a lot of people that in a race will drop out. A lot of people will start, but then they fall and drop out by the wayside. They cancel their fight. They cancel their course. They quit. And Paul said, I fought the fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He kept the faith. You know what that means? I've watched over it. I've guarded it. I didn't let things from the outside come in and steal my faith. Basically, what he was saying is, I have remained true to the calling that God put in my life. I've got a question for you today. I have a question. Can you say today, I have remained true to the call that God put on my life? I have remained committed to the call that God put on my life. You say, Brother Orchard, God didn't call me. Oh, yes, he did. God's called every one of us to some type of ministry. I love what Tyler said this morning in the Bible class that Sister Sue was teaching. By the way, that was an awesome, awesome class this morning that Sister Sue taught. I would encourage you to come in on first and third, second and fourth? Second and fourth Sundays at 9 o'clock, 9 to 9:45. She did an excellent job, and Tyler brought up the comment that I forgot what he said. Tyler, remember what you said? Oh yeah, everybody needs everybody. Solid Rock is a family church, and that means we need you because everybody. Welcome, Carissa. Church starts at 10 o'clock, but you can come on in late if you want to. You were in surgery, right? Okay. The Bible says that we need each other because what this joint needs, this joint supplies it. Hello? And what my knee needs is maybe it's supplied by the joint up here and the joint down here. Every joint is important. Every joint in this church is important. Look at the joint sitting next to you and say, you're important. I know you're only a joint, but you're important. Every joint supplieth. That's why we don't quit. You know the ones that are blessed and prosperous? Moses said, I believe it was Moses in Psalms, said that when we are planted of the Lord in the house of the Lord, we will produce fruit. I believe it's Psalms chapter 90. So listen, we've got to stay planted. We can't quit. Just because your mood changes doesn't mean you can quit. We settled it. I have kept the faith. I have fought the fight. I didn't allow fear to enter in and run me off. Anybody get anything out of this today? Whew. I've kept the faith. I've watched over the call. I've protected the call that God gave me. I've remained true to my commitment. Others were letting go. Others were running away. Others was full of fear that they might get caught by Nero or some of the Roman guards, but not me. I remained faithful to the call. His ministry may have been difficult, but he didn't relinquish one inch to the enemy. He stayed in there and fought the good fight. Amen? And by the way, notice he says, I am now ready. My time of departure is at hand. Instead of fearing death, he said, I'm taking a trip. Amen? I'm going somewhere. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. We're just moving right along here. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord thy righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of them that love his appearing or are eagerly looking forward to his appearing. God help us to never get lackadaisical in looking forward to the coming of the Lord. I've heard it all my life. And some of you that have been in church all your life, you've heard it all your life. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. But you know what? I may have heard it for 50 years, but I still believe Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. I'm looking forward to his appearing. Actually, Brother Mark, I'm looking more forward to it now than I did 20 years ago. Man, this world's a mess. I'm ready to check out. How about you? And I better watch how I say that, or I might be going out sooner than I want. But I'm ready, okay? I'm ready. Okay. Paul didn't talk about dying. He said, I'm departing. I'm hopping the train. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to a better place. This almost sounds like a funeral message, doesn't it? He fought the fight. He won the race. He kept the faith. And Paul was telling Timothy, be strong in the midst of your battles. Be strong. Don't allow fear to come in and steal your strength. Steal your joy. Amen? How many knows the joy of the Lord is our strength? Okay, let's go down to verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. Even Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Even Demas, my right-hand man, my associate pastor, my deacon, my friend, he's forsaken me. I've been forsaken by ministers before. I've been forsaken by friends before. I've had people that I've allowed to preach in our pulpit. They'd get upset and they'd go across town with our list of church members and telephone numbers and start another church and call our church members and invite them over to his church. It's happened more than once. He was even calling and writing people in the church, would you help me buy new chairs for my new church? I know what it's like to be rejected. I know what it's like to have that opportunity to hurt. But we made a decision that we're going to bless and not curse. Amen. We're going to bless and not curse, okay? So Demas has forsaken me. He has loved this world rather than chose to stay with me. Now, Thessalonica was apparently the home of Demetrius. His name was probably Demetrius, but Paul calls him Demas. He went back to his home. He went back to mama. Okay, let's say it like that. He had to go back to his hometown. He loved the ease and the safety of living in his hometown than to suffer the afflictions and the things that the Apostle Paul was going through at the time. I believe there might be some Demases in some churches today. Not this one. Come on, let me hear. Nope. Not in this church. I'm not going to trade this in for an easier lifestyle. I'm not going to trade this in for a golden watch and that's all I'm going to say. Okay. I mean, some of you have retired, and may the Lord bless you. But I'm glad you made it that far. But we need to just keep on plugging along. Amen. I've got a note here somewhere I want to read. Are you a Demas? I didn't say demon. I said, are you a Demas or are you a Luke? Are you a Demas or are you a Luke? Do you serve only when it's convenient? Do you attend only when it's convenient? Are you present and accounted for when it's convenient? Or are you a Luke? I'm going to stay with you from the very first missionary journey you take throughout your entire life. I'll be there when you close your eyes and go to sleep in the Lord. God's looking for some Lukes. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, are you going to be a Luke? We already have one Luke here today, don't we? And I'm going to say sometimes one Luke's enough. One Luke's more than enough sometimes. No, I'm just teasing. Just playing with you. Don't get offended and quit. Now, before I close today, which means absolutely nothing, okay, so don't. I just said that because I saw some of you dozing. Before I close, I want us to look at some of the persecution that the Apostle Paul that we're talking about really had to go through. Sometimes we read over these verses so quickly and we don't realize the suffering, but when we read the part that says, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, and what's the last one? Huh? There's three of them. What is it? I kept the faith. I run my race. Finished my race. I kept the faith. Okay, there we go. Let's look at some of these things that Paul went through and was able to say, I never quit. I never gave up. I hung in there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us a little picture here of what Paul had to go through. Verses 24 and 25. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 11, 24, 25. He said, of the Jews, isn't that something? Not the Romans, but his own people. His own Jewish brothers. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times 40 is 200 minus 5 is 195 stripes. 195 stripes he took. 40 stripes save one. Acts 22. Just listen to this. The commander brought Paul inside and ordered him lashed with whips to make him confess his crime. He wanted to find out why the crowd had become so furious. So when they tied Paul down to lash him, this is from the Message Bible, Paul said to the officer standing there, is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't been tried? When the officer heard this, he went to the commander and said, what are you doing? This man is a Roman citizen. So the commander went over and asked Paul, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? Yes, I certainly am, Paul replied. I am too, said the commander, and it cost me plenty. Paul said, but I am a citizen by birth. In other words, I didn't pay for my citizenship. I'm a citizen by birth. The soldiers who were about to interrogate Paul quickly withdrew when they heard that he was a Roman citizen. And the commander was frightened because he had ordered him bound and whipped. You see, it was forbidden to whip a Roman citizen at that time. But Paul went through it five times. 39 slashes. Oh, by the way, it wasn't like a bullwhip, okay? It wasn't just something with a piece of leather on the end that you could make it pop. No, at the end of these, there's three pieces. Generally, most of the time, the Roman whipping utensil was had three pieces of leather on it, and tied to the end of those three pieces of leather was either bone or glass. And they didn't just whip and then let the whip fall down. They whipped and then they jerked it. So it was ripping open his flesh every time that thing. By the way, they tied him to a post. You couldn't protect yourself with your hands. They tied him to the post, and when they'd flip that whip across there, they would jerk it and cause that bone and glass to rip into the skin and pull it apart. No wonder he had Dr. Luke with him. Yeah. Somebody said, oh, Paul must have not been a faith man. I beg your pardon. He was a man of much faith, or he couldn't have got up and kept preaching every time he got whipped. And he did. He did. He continued on. Every time he got whipped, every time he got beaten with rods or stripes or whatever, he would get up and keep preaching the gospel. He was a man of great faith. Don't you dare say Paul didn't have any faith. And Dr. Luke was right there to help him bandage those wounds up every time. thank God for the Onesiphoruses and the Lukes that are standing by our side. Amen? Okay, so 40 times, 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Now these rods were not just like little bitty branches from an apple tree. These rods were birch tree, and there were several of them that was wrapped together all the way down. It was a rod made of several birch branches, and they would whip, and they made the person lean over. They tied them over like this, and they whipped them with those birch limbs, and again they would remove their clothes and tie them to a post, and they would strike their victims. 5 times, 39 stripes. 3 times, beaten with rods. Man, the fact that Paul was beaten so much and got up and kept going really proves that he was determined not to quit. You know what most of us would have done after one whipping? Which I'll serve God in secret. I won't tell anybody I'm a Christian, but not Paul. He kept preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay. He says, once I was stoned. You know, it's interesting, when they were stoned in those days, they would put them down in a pit. They'd put them down in something much lower than them. And then the people above, anybody could come along and pick up rocks, and they weren't pebbles. It wasn't inch minus gravel. It was rocks that they would pick up, and because they were below them, they was always aiming for the head. And Paul said, I was stoned once. In fact, the Bible says he was even taken up for dead one time. Remember that? They even said he was dead. What, man, the stuff that this apostle went through, it tells me that he was supernaturally strengthened, infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you that if he can do it, you can do it. It's the same Holy Ghost power. It's the same dunamis, miracle-working power that's alive on the inside of you. If the Spirit of Christ raised Jesus from the dead, man, he's dwelling in our bodies as well. Amen. Stoning. What a vicious, vicious type of torture. Let's drop on down to 2 Corinthians 11, 25 and 26. I'm reading from the Living Bible. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 3 times. Shipwrecked. Once I was in the open sea all night and the whole next day. Some commentaries say it was a 24-hour period. From evening one day until evening the next day. He was out there. One translation says he was treading water for 24 hours. Once I was in the open sea all night and the whole next day. I traveled many weary miles, and having been often in great danger from flooded rivers, from robbers, from my own people, the Jews, as well as those from the hands of the Gentiles, I have faced grave dangers from mobs in the city, and from death in the deserts, and in the stormy seas, from the men who claim to be brothers in Christ but are not. That's the ones we need to watch out for. Those wolves in sheep's clothing. But let me tell you what Paul said. Now, if this don't bless your socks off, you're not listening. In Acts chapter 20, here's what the Apostle Paul says. But none of those things move me. Did you hear me? None of those things moved me. I was shipwrecked. I was beaten. I spent 24 hours out on the deep in the dark, treading water. I was beaten with rods. But none of these things moved me. You know why? Because he kept the faith. You know, sometimes we go through a little bitty thing in our life, and man, we're ready to run. God didn't answer our prayer the way we thought he should, so we're ready to run. Am I talking to anybody today? Sometimes God doesn't move as quick as we think he should, and we get upset and run. Listen, you ought to explore the life of the Apostle Paul. And if anybody was a believer, if anybody made it to heaven, the Apostle Paul made it. Let me finish this. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to me, so that I might finish my course with joy. Shame on us for getting so depressed when something doesn't go our way. I'm going to finish my course with joy. Though somebody on the back row don't like me, I'm going to finish my course with joy. Somebody on that side of the church looked at me over on the side of the church and they made a face at me. I will finish my course with joy. Somebody didn't tell me I did a good job. I'm going to finish my course with joy. I told them last week in Kenya, I said, I appreciate all the compliments that I get from the congregation, but nothing means any more to me than when my wife says, honey, you did a good job. I don't care if anybody says anything, but when my wife says, honey, you did a good job today, she made my day. But you know, we need to stop being so touchy. Amen? Oh, gosh, where am I at? Solid rock. I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the grace of God. I might finish my course with joy. Brother Sue, we've been through some hard times. You and I have been through a lot together. You've pioneered churches. You've started churches, and maybe they didn't go the way you thought they would go, and you've been discouraged along the way. But you know what we're going to do, brother? You and I are going to finish our course with joy. No man can take my joy. Amen. Say, Brother Rhodes, I'm going to quit tithing. I'm going to quit supporting Solid Rock. I'm just going to kiss it all goodbye. Well, adios. I'm going to finish my course with joy. What are you going to do if everybody leaves, Pastor Rhodes? I don't know, but I'm not going to lose my joy. And I'm certainly not going to let fear get a hold of me. I've been down that road in the past, and I'm not going back there. So how many knows the hardships of the Apostle Paul were very extreme, very hard? But I love the statement, Brother Medeiros, where he said, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith, and I finished my course. There's nobody in this room that's been treated the way the Apostle Paul has. But there's a whole bunch of us in here that can say, I kept the faith. I did not quit. Amen. Did I read 4:16 yet? No? Let's read 4:16. 2 Timothy 4:16. I love this scripture here. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one was here to help me. No one showed up at my trial. I had to face that judge all by myself. Everyone had run away. But I hope that they will not be blamed for it. How many of us can say that? I hope. You know, they ran away, but that's okay. God never runs away. Amen? Mm-mm-mm. This makes me want to stay another 48 years. No man forsook me. Paul was in need of a helper. He was in need of a friend. He was in need of somebody that would support him. He had been betrayed, but nobody stepped up to the plate. No man stood with me. But he goes on and he says, I hope nobody blames him for that, because I'm not going to. Whew, this is good stuff, isn't it? This is good stuff. Excuse me. It's a little warm up here. Now we're going to do some preaching. You know, isn't it amazing how easily we get bitter today? How we get our feelings hurt, and then that continues to hurt, and then we switch over here into another mode called bitterness. The Apostle Paul, if anybody had reason to be bitter, it was the Apostle Paul. But he refused to get bitter. He refused. These horror stories that we just read about, no bitterness in him. You know why? Because he knew, Dr. Sue, if nobody stood with him, the Lord would never leave him or forsake him. Amen. Can I have the worship team come up? I want you to get ready to lead us in some songs. Let's go on down to verse number 17 now. 2 Timothy 4:17. I had no man to stand with me. I had nobody here to support me. Nobody held my hand. Nobody went to court with me. Nobody supported me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. We can get a certain amount of strength from one another. But nobody can strengthen you like the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your eyes off of those that have forsaken you and remember, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Let's read verses 16, 17, and 18 now. At my preliminary hearing, no one stood with me. They all ran like scared rabbits. But it doesn't matter. The Master stood by me and helped me spread the message loud and clear to those that have never heard it. I was snatched from the jaws of the lion. God's looking after me, keeping me safe in the kingdom of heaven. All praise to Him. Praise forever. Stand to your feet with me this morning. This is good stuff here. Though everybody leaves you, everybody forsakes you, God is going to stand by your side forever. All praise and glory be to Him. Well, Brother Rhodes, I had a problem at Solid Rock. I thought everybody was friends. I thought everybody loved us. And I went through a situation and I went through it all by myself. No, you didn't. Not if your focus is on the Lord. Now, I'm all about people coming by and ministering comfort. I'm all about people coming by and holding your hand and ministering to you. But listen, if that's where you get your strength and that's where you get your real comfort from, you're missing it by a mile. Because He is our strength. He is our comforter. He is our helper. He's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. He's the one that'll never leave us or forsake us. Mm-mm-mm. Scripture says that when everybody forsook Him, the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. Simply means, the Greek says, he was empowered with inner strength. Pastor Rhodes, why did you take us through this whole scenario of Paul's sufferings? Why couldn't you preach on something a little more positive? Because I've got to remind you that, you know, yeah, I believe in the positive gospel, but I also believe we're living real life. And in this life, there will be those things that come against us. We'll always have things coming. Don't think that you're a failure. Don't think that God is judging you. Don't think that you missed the mark or that you've sinned. In life, we will have these things. Sometimes we do things, don't we? We do things and we pay the piper, don't we? When you break the law, don't blame God. You're the one that had your foot to the pedal. And the metal, right? Sometimes God gets a lot of blame for things that He didn't do. But listen. God is always just. God is always faithful. God is always with us. He'll never leave us. He's never going to turn His back on us. You might turn your back, but He'll never turn His back on you. So whatever it is you're going through today, let me remind you that you're not going through it alone. No, Brother Dudash and Sister Bucketmouth and Brother so-and-so, they may not be there to encourage you, but listen, God is with you. God is with you. And that's all that matters. Well, I thought I had a church family. You do. You know, and if you call, we'll be there. But if you don't call, I can't read minds. I don't know if Brother Rhodes never came and see me in the hospital. Well, I didn't even know you was in the hospital. But even if I didn't come and see you in the hospital, Jesus was with you. Amen. You're not alone. Paul went through all this stuff. And he finally made his departure. So that's why I took you through this trip of Paul's life. Paul knew what it was like to pour his life into ministry, into people, and then people reject him, kick him in the mouth, and walk away, ashamed to be associated with him. 2 Timothy 2:1, and this is my last verse. Therefore, my son, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in you. Be strong in the grace that is in you. Be be strong. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. When we find ourselves in spiritual warfare, we can take Paul's instructions. While we're pursuing what God asks us to do, we can also be endued with the supernatural grace, strength, and power. So regardless of your situation, your battle, God will come to your assistance. There is no one faithful like God, and He will always, always be faithful. Could you take 30 seconds, raise your hands, and give God some praise for His faithfulness and His mercy that endures forever? Could you do that this morning? Just lift your hands up and let's begin to thank God. He's faithful. He'll never leave us, forsake us. A friend that'll sit closer than a blood relative. Father, we worship You this morning. God, forgive us for when we've gone through the trials of life. We whined, we cried, we shrunk back. We left the church. Forgive us, Lord, for pointing the finger at somebody in the church or at somebody else. Forgive us, Lord. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. I thank You, Jesus, that You're always with us. God, we're not guaranteed that there won't be some tests and trials in life. We're not guaranteed that there will be some ups and downs. But God, we are guaranteed that we'll never go through anything in life alone. You are an ever-present help in our time of need. Father, bless everyone here today and those that are listening. I pray, Heavenly Father, that something's been said that will encourage our faith to keep on keeping on. That will encourage us, if Paul can make it, I can make it. For the same God that dwelled in the Apostle Paul dwells within us in this 21st century church. God, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, be it in Kenya, be it in Myanmar, be it in Mexico, be it in Farmington or Bon Terre, we just pray, Father, that You will give us the courage to not quit, to press on. When the times get difficult, we're not going to shrink back. We're not going to pull back. But we're going to intensify our worship and our praise. We're going to intensify our walk with You, Lord. So thank You this morning, Lord. Thank You today, Lord, for all that You're doing. In Jesus' name, worship team, take us into the presence of the Lord.